Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Well, it is the story of the morning on Bloomberg, Bloomberg.com as well. Bill Gross says the Fed will raise rates in June. David Rosenberg, according to our story, says 2016. First, let us listen to Mr. Gross.
What has been promoted has been, you know, potential bubbles in stock markets and in bond markets. And I think the Fed is willing at this point to at least acknowledge that by raising interest rates 25 basis points in June.
Joining us now with the other half of the story, David Rosenberg. He is chief economist at Gluskin Sheff in Toronto. And David, good morning to you. The Bloomberg story suggests kind of a philosophical face-off here. You don't think that the Fed is going to move in June?
I think it's highly unlikely. And I think, once again, what I had mentioned yesterday still holds today, which is what was new in Janet Yellen's testimony. And what was new really wasn't even the fact that she downplayed the significance of dropping patients from the press statement, which looks likely, but the fact that she explicitly attached any rate hike to not just improvement in the labor market, which we know is improving, but also to the other part of the mandate, which is 2% inflation. And my point was that we're not getting to 2% inflation as early as June, probably in the opening months of next year. So that was the new information. Now, if she comes out and says, well, we're going to be preemptive and start to move ahead of 2% inflation, well, you know, I'll change my forecast if that happens.
You don't think that that was the message that she delivered? Most people read it as Janet Yellen says we need to be moving in the direction of 2% as opposed to actually achieving it.
No, she basically said that the Fed would have to be confident that inflation was getting to 2%. You can read it any way you want. It was basically a deliberate attempt for the first time to attach to the first rate hike an explicit number on inflation. You know, my sense is that by the time we get to June, we haven't even seen the full pipeline of disinflation pressures yet hit the broad measures, and I'm talking principally about the lagged impact of the strong dollar. So getting to 2% inflation, getting towards 2% inflation at a rate that causes the Fed to be confident, I'd be hard-pressed to believe it's going to come as early as June.
Well, let me bring in Tom Keene here. But, Tom, let me mention that it is car sales day in the United States. Fiat Chrysler, the first one out. Sales in February up 5.6%. That is significantly less than analysts had estimated. They had forecast a gain of 8.9%. Fiat Chrysler blames the cold and snow.
Yeah,
I bet they're right. They didn't sell any cars in Boston.
David, you are, and people have heard me say this for years, and full disclosure, Mr. Rosenberg wrote a brilliant chapter on inflation and disinflation in my book a few years ago. The movie will be out at Memorial Day of 2018. David, you have been so good about bringing the financial mumbo-jumbo over to the real economy. And if I hear you correctly, the distinction between you and the June-September crew is that you see real economic effects that even a central bank like the Fed can't ignore.
Well, look, I think the you know, the one critical factor here has been the U.S. dollar, okay? And if you were to look at the U.S. dollar strength since the mid part of last year and look at it in strictly basis point terms, in terms of what it would mean from a financial tightening standpoint, it's almost as if the Fed raised 200 basis points but didn't do it through the funds rate, but it happened through the currency. At a time when you got the ECB about to embark on this gargantuan quantitative easing program, you have the Bank of Japan extending its program almost to perpetuity. You got the People's Bank of China now joining in on this global currency war. I think the hurdle is going to be high. I'm not going to say it's impossible. The hurdle will be high for the Fed to move as quickly as June or September, in my opinion.
Well, if the Fed gets to June and doesn't do anything. What's the market reaction? I mean, how much is the Fed captive to market expectations at this point?
Well, look, I mean, you could have the consensus of economists calling for one thing, we'll just say June or September, but, you know, what is the market priced for? I'm not so sure that there's a single contract that's really priced completely for the Fed to go this year. You can correct me if I'm wrong. So the markets have a slightly different interpretation of how things are going to unfold than the Fed does. My sense is, will the Fed move in line with the markets? I mean, that remains to be seen, because the Fed is not exactly a homogeneous group. Ultimately, it's going to be Janet Yellen's decision. Whether or not she faces dissent, well, that's happened before. She might only have one vote, but she has the most powerful vote.
Parse, David, for us the debate over, and forget about the labor economy and, folks, our job report coverage coming up on Friday. David Rosenberg, parse for us the real GDP versus real plus inflation, no inflation, nominal GDP debate. Shouldn't we, given the baggage that we're carrying from August of 07, work more in the nominal space, looking at a subpar animal spirits that we can't act until we get that going?
Well, look, I think this is a, look, if you were just looking strictly at nominal GDP growth and that's all you were looking at, you probably would have missed out on a lot of things. You wouldn't have predicted that that the funds rate would be close to zero this long, and you would have missed out on last year's gargantuan rally in the Treasury market. You know, my sense is that this is not the same Fed of previous cycles, and they're going to be very deliberate. And it's a Fed that continues to change its goalposts. I'm not going to say, by the way, that Bill Gross or other people are wrong. I'm just talking about what the balance of risks are, and I'm really discussing about what the Fed is telling us. I probably would have been raising rates far sooner than the Fed, but they've been shifting the goalposts all along. And the reality is that our job is to call the Fed what we think they're going to do, not what we think that they should do.
In 20 seconds, is forward guidance dead?
Well, I wouldn't say it's dead yet, but it's certainly entering into its final stages. Okay. So I would tend to agree with that.
And for those of you worldwide, this is an August evening last night as the second NHL season began. Are the Montreal Canadiens alive, David Rosenberg?
Last I saw, they're vying for the lead in the East, so I'd say they're still alive. Even after that horrendous performance last night.
David is with us from Gluskin Sheff, and you made some interesting comments about the Bank of Canada, suggesting that Stephen Polish, the Bank of Canada governor, is risking his credibility. What do you mean by that?
Well, I didn't actually say that. I was it was a question that I responded to, so not something that I offered up, unilaterally. So the question was, is there a risk to the central bank's credibility? My answer was that, when you go back and forth, as the bank has over the course of the past couple of months and past couple of weeks, and you sow confusion into the marketplace, then yes, you certainly can risk credibility if this becomes the new form of forward guidance, to have various policymakers say different things so close together and have the markets price something in and price something out.
What have they been saying?
Well, for example, when we came out of the last rate cut in January, the tone of the press statement was such that you would have believed they're not done. The markets priced that in, and then you had a central bank official come out and actually really hammer home the point as to how deleterious the oil price impact is on the Canadian economy, and really focused on downside risk to growth. And so that caused whoever residually wasn't calling for a Bank Canada rate cut tomorrow to call for that. So it became practically a universal view. And then right. you had Governor Polos come out and basically say, well, you know, that last move in January was really an insurance move. And look, these central bankers choose their words very carefully. So all of a sudden, oh, it was just insurance. And so then it's led some people to believe, most people to believe that, oh, maybe now the bank's on a wait-and-see mode. You know, so you've had the futures contracts and you've had the front end of the Canada curve move around like a yo-yo. And I'm not saying that central bankers should be there. And we talked about this earlier when it came to the Fed. No, the central bankers are not there just to appease financial markets. But at the same time, you know, if you're not sure, then the less said, the better.
And well, do you applaud Stanley Fisher for suggesting the Fed has told us too much and they're going to stop talking so much?
I've always believed that. You know, I think the central banks, I mean, you got to walk a fine line between clarity. And clarity doesn't mean you got to have Fed officials speaking or Fed officials speaking every single day. There's clarity. And then at the same time, you know, you want to leave your options open. Look, I was never, ever a big fan of forward guidance. I don't think that the central bank should be there to force feed the markets. But if you're going to be doing it, at least do it consistently. The problem in the States... Look, I grew up in the day in the 80s when, God, when you had like a Lee Hoskins from Cleveland give a speech, it'd be a major deal. Today you get three or four Fed officials talking and they all say different things.
Okay.
In Canada, you know, there's not as many people speaking, so it can actually move the markets a lot more vociferously.
You mentioned Cleveland, and David, the single most important sentence in your note is the vector of the Cleveland, speaking of Lee Hoskins, CPI, which is, folks, for those of you outside economics, is widely followed within the kind of Seni. The idea of finally Cleveland CPI is doing what David Rosenberg courageously predicted 18 months ago. We're migrating ever higher. Is this vector part of a new trend where we are going to see some significant wage inflation 1 year out, 2 years out, 3 years out?
I think that the wage inflation, admittedly, it's coming off a very low level, is actually starting to bottom out and hook up. So, yes, I think that that's a process that we're going to be seeing. I think the leading indicators, one of the best leading indicators, by the way, for wage growth down the pike is the quit rate. And the quit rate has been moving up discernibly over the course
Mike
of the past several months.
Mike McKee agrees with you on that.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying this is a Fed that's been shifting the goalposts, and a Fed that clearly, this is not a preemptive Fed. This is a Fed that will ultimately lag the inflation process. My feeling is this. There's people out there that think that the Fed will move earlier and in dribs and drabs.
There's no history of that,
I think the Fed is actually going to wait longer, and when it comes time to raise rates, they're going to do it a lot more quickly.
When they do it, and this is, let's just switch. Well, can we have Rosenberg on for like 6 hours one day? You know, I'll skip my lunch. But David, quickly here, you're suggesting measured won't happen, that they'll get into some form of modest inflation panic and up they go quicker?
Well, you know what? This isn't just from me, Tom. This is actually Janet Yellen has talked about this in the past, where she's talked about one policy prescription would be you wait for longer. The insurance policy there is that you're really waiting for self-sustaining growth that can ultimately withstand higher rates down the pike, but that when it comes time to raising rates, you do it. You don't skip meetings, okay?
Yeah,
and
right.
And so that's what I think that that's what I think Yellen is really going for here, is wait and see, ensure that everything is falling into place.
Right.
But when it comes time to raise rates, and I think
okay.
It'll be a 2016 story, is that rates will go up probably a lot faster.
David, thank you so much. David Rosenberg with Gluskin Sheff.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014 Bloomberg LP.